This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Last week, we talked about how amazing Caldrea is, and this week is no exception. Caldrea is a consciously crafted home and body care brand that combines thoughtful ingredients with delectable scents, making caring for ourselves and our homes a beautiful experience. In addition to those hand soaps and lotions I mentioned last week, Caldrea also has home cleaning products that effectively clean while transforming your home with your favorite fragrances. While we all are spending so much time at home, we want to keep it clean and fresh. Caldrea makes cleaning enjoyable and worry-free with incredible, effective formulas that are addictively pleasurable to use. Products use a combination of essential oils from flowers and herbs and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients. Home cleaning products are available in scents like Pear Blossom Agave and Sea Salt Neroli that customers love. I received this as a gift, and now I refuse to use any other dish soap again. Not only does it work extremely well, but the smell is amazing. Paired with the countertop cleaner, people are always complimenting how wonderful my kitchen smells. And let me tell you from experience, I absolutely agree. It smells amazing, and the scent is long-lasting. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you buy online at Caldrea.com. That's Caldrea.com. Visit Caldrea.com and add a touch of luxury to your home.
From Podcast One and the Lady Gang, are you ready for a relatable, unapologetic take on life? This is the Ladies Like Us podcast with Nazanin Mandy and Nadia Mohan.
Welcome to an all-new episode of Ladies Like Us. I'm Nazanin Mandy.
And I'm Nadia Moham. And here we are, another Tuesday. Yes,
another Tuesday. And just to let you guys know, we actually have Erin in early today.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah. So we decided we were going to do a continuation of last week's Ladies Like You episode, where we answered your guys' questions, because we had so many. So we thought, you know, let's just keep it going. I think this tends to be a fun episode. I guess, I don't know what the word is, but we enjoy doing Ladies Like You episodes. Not only do we get to have Erin on, which is awesome, because she's our dear friend, and so the conversation is like how we normally would. We know each other. But, you know, it's just... I like the fact that we don't know what kind of questions that are going to come up. They're all different. And it's right. Just a cool way to have, bring up open discussion about different topics. So here we are.
I think it's important that like our listeners hear our point of views,
right?
Not only like when we interview people, but like how we really feel, you know, about certain topics. So that's important too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we also decided we wanted to have Erin on for the whole episode. Because, you know, in our intro, Naz and I will recap our week, shit that's happened to us. But we wanted to just recap with her and have a bigger discussion because so much shit has been happening. And
like life-changing historical moments.
I mean, I don't even know where to start, really.
Where did we leave off? Last time we left off, we talked about the incident that happened.
Right,
and,
right.
We went but, you know, the George Floyd incident is a catalyst to what has been needing to happen for so many years.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just going back real quick to not confuse the listeners. What we did in the last two episodes was the last episode we had previously recorded before George Floyd with Aaron. So we didn't bring it up in that last episode. It was brought up in the previous episode, which was closer to the time of the event. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I do want to mention, because it was brought to my attention, was I had a listener DM me. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she basically told me, listen, I think it was like 15, no, less than that. I think she was like 2 minutes into the episode. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to reach out to me and tell me something about what I had said. And I listened to her and I'm in total agreement with what she had to say. So what she said was, she was like, Nadia, I'm listening to your episode and I just wanted to bring this up to you because she's like, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. And I think it's important that we share, you know, point those out to other people when they may not know. So when we got on, when we recorded the episode, it was the very next morning, right after the incident. And I had been watching stuff all night long and I was like furious. So I woke up with anger and I'm like winded. Why can't I breathe?
You got emotional.
I know. I told Aaron, I think I have the Rona.
No, you won't.
I'll get into that later. I have an appointment today to get tested, but I'll get into that later.
Oh my God.
Girl. Okay. Anyways. What I had said was in my anger and heat of the moment was that I was saying that everyone needs to watch it. That everyone needs to feel as angry as I feel. Don't turn away. What I was trying to get at is when things get uncomfortable to watch, we don't want to see it and we don't expose ourselves. Mm-hmm. And in a way you're ignoring the problem because you're not viewing it. You're saying, I can't look at that. So in my mind, that's what I was thinking. And I was angry as, but she had a very valid point. And I thought about this too later that, first of all, like if you've gone through trauma, watching something like that can be very difficult to see. Mm-hmm. So when I say everyone, I shouldn't make a blanket statement and say everyone. There are people who cannot watch this and it's completely okay and understandable. Also, Black people don't need to be watching this. They've seen it time and time again. If you don't want to see it, exactly. You know this happens. You don't need to see it again. You've seen it over and over again. It's trauma.
It's draining.
It's draining.
Absolutely.
All of our Black friends are exhausted. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to expose themselves to that over and over again. So Black people, you are exempt from watching this as well. I was just trying to say, really, the people that are not exposed to this, look at it. You know what right. I mean? That was my point. So I appreciate when people reach out to me and tell me when I'm wrong. I shouldn't have made a blanket statement. That was wrong of me. And I really apologize for that. So I just wanted to clarify that, get that out there. And I could breathe.
Okay, wait. So are you okay?
Okay. So I feel like I'm doing all the talking here.
No, but you said, I just wanted to, are you okay?
Okay. I'm fine. This will be my last story and then you guys can talk. I went on a bike ride last Thursday with Tina Sanchez. She organized with two of her friends. She created this little biker gang called Puff Riders, and they've been doing it 3 times a week. So they're very experienced in riding bikes. Uh-huh. So she invited us. I borrowed her their bike. I went, and it was 9 miles. It was a solidarity ride for George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. It was beautiful. People were honking. Great time. The ride is over, and then she tells us, do you want to just go ride and get some food? We'll go get pizza or whatever. Perfect. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have shit else to do. Why not? 26 miles later.
No, thank you.
That was a vaginal distress.
Does your vag still hurt?
No, it's healed now. But I was in so much pain. It was hot as shit. My face got burned. My shoulders got burned. Oh. But the reason why I don't really feel good is because, and it could be psychological, she gave us masks to wear that they made. The masks that they made, you couldn't breathe out of them. They weren't made to be very breathable. So I took it off. I couldn't fucking breathe. So I was out all day with all kinds of people without a mask, and it freaked me out. Like, yeah. And then I started getting like a runny nose, which I don't even think is a symptom. And now I can't breathe. And
I got corona.
I'm just thinking it over. So regardless, I just made an appointment anyways, because I just want that peace of mind to just be like,
oh, of course.
I really don't think I have it, but
Nadia's all like, coronavirus.
No.
Fuck. But yeah. Anyways, what? The floor is yours. I'm done. Sorry. I was going to say, well, one last thing, because I told Tina when we were writing, I said, I'm going to talk so much shit about you, Tina, in our next episode. I'll never forgive you for this. So here's it. Here it is, Tina. F you, Tina Sanchez.
I would feel the same way. I would have called the car or something.
I was considering calling you, because we went from Culver City to Venice.
Uh-huh.
Man. Anyways, let's get back to more sad and depressing and fucking terrible topics. I just can't. How are you feeling, Erin?
Wow. I'm really overwhelmed. And the funny thing about it is it's like there's a plethora of things that are overwhelming me about this current climate. I don't know, you know, it seems like, you know, it can be kind of disheartening when it seems like you're finally getting across to people, you know, when you are finally making your point and people are actually listening, like, oh, okay, I actually hear you now. But then you have things like our politicians kneeling in kente cloths on TV.
That blows me away.
And it's just like, what are you doing?
What was that?
It just feels like, do you actually hear me? You know, are you actually listening to what I'm saying? Because I never asked you to become African. What I asked you was to treat me like a human being.
They want to relate so badly.
And you know what? That to that point is so crazy, because like a lot of white people and a lot of people who aren't black, I'll just say people who aren't black that I come across, and they, you know, they feel terribly. They want to share the pain. They want to, you know, make me understand that they see me and that they get it. But there's also this really weird, I don't know, it's just like a really weird air about it when I'm approached. It's like they want to say something. They don't want to say the wrong thing.
They're so walking it becomes, on eggshells right now.
Yeah, so it becomes very stiff and very, like, just it's just like, it doesn't work.
I think it makes you question the authenticity of it all.
Absolutely.
That's how I've been feeling. Yeah. I can totally see that.
Have you come across people, white people that are trying too hard, where it's uncomfortable?
Yes. But that's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with just my line of work, because I have a lot of like white parents who have black children, and they'll bring them to me and they want me to feel like they understand their child, you know, better than I do just because I'm black, you know? And I'm like, you don't have to work that hard. Like, this is your child. Like, I get it. So that's not an uncommon thing for me to encounter, but yes, it's definitely been happening.
And I imagine that.
I think people are just afraid to admit that
they were wrong for so long.
Right. And that they didn't know, or they were ignorant, or they didn't realize, or, you know, in your cases with the kids, that, you know, they don't know. Like, it's okay to admit.
It's okay not to know. Yeah. Also, too, the shock of it is also kind of, it's a little irritating.
It is.
To be honest with you. It's just like, you're shocked? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, because I came across a meme recently that says something like, if you think that the police and, you know, whoever is putting the bricks in different communities for the protesters, if you think that that's crazy, wait till you hear about crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I saw that.
And it's just like, this has been going on for so fucking long that I cannot even believe that in 2020, your 30, 40, 50-year-old ass is just now catching on.
Right. It's because they, for some reason, people who have not had to deal with the police in an unfortunate way have these blinders on, and they think the government is right and the police are right and we must listen. And it's like,
they're here to protect us.
Yeah.
All of us.
No, no.
Exactly.
And they, so since they're not exposed to it, it's pure ignorance. They don't believe it really exists. And so when they see shit, it is mind blowing to them because they're like, how could this happen? I don't understand. And it's like, this has been happening forever. America is designed this way.
It is. Another thing that I'll say is pretty overwhelming right now, and this is just for me personally. I don't know if any other Black people are feeling this way right now, but I just remember moving to LA in 2012 from Baltimore, where there was nothing but Black people. Mm-hmm. I come from a 95-96% Black place, right? Mm-hmm. And then coming to LA, it's such a melting pot. You know, I had never really met a Mexican person until I moved here. Mm-hmm. So, that was the first time in 2012 that I really was introduced to my own Blackness, because mm-hmm. before, I never had to think about it. Mm-hmm. It was nothing but me there. Mm-hmm. So now coming into this time, I kind of still, I'm starting to re-feel that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I cannot just be myself. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I think that is a subconscious thing from a lot of Black people, where for me, I know I'll catch myself in the grocery store damn near holding my items out in front of me so nobody thinks that I'm going to steal it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like holding my money in my hand so that nobody thinks that I don't have money enough and that I'm not going to walk out with their shit.
People are always questioning you.
And I definitely catch myself doing that sometimes, but it's so subconscious, and I don't think that until recently that all of those feelings have just started to flood me, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting to be in your skin at this moment if you're a Black person, and it's a rough time.
Well, you're going through rehashed trauma, every time this happens. It's trauma. And so this is your trauma response, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it is.
And
it's crazy because the funny thing is not just people who aren't Black, because even people who are Black are still conditioned to think this way mm-hmm. about Black people. Mm-hmm. I had a very significant family member of mine growing up tell me that I needed to get rid of my N-word friends, get rid of my hoodlum friends, and get white friends because that was the only way that I was gonna get ahead in life.
That's crazy.
And this is a fully Black person of my family.
What was your take on that when that was told to you? Did you agree? Did you feel like?
No, I didn't agree. I think that I've always been pretty strong-minded ever since I was, since I can remember. So I don't think that really made me think of what I was doing with my life any different. It just made me think different of them. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, you're tripping.
Yeah.
So that luckily, I know people who definitely fall into that where they're like, oh yeah, my grandma told me these things, my so-and-so told me these things, and I believe it now, but that's never been my case, thankfully. So
no, and most likely in their case that was told to them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that was
passed on to you.
It's all mm-hmm. conditioning.
It's very exactly. conditioned. Yeah.
Very. And it's good that you're breaking that. Mm-hmm.
You see colorism being a problem in every culture.
In
every culture. It's a problem. Yeah. The darker you, the lighter you are, the better, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can't see my quotes, but the better. The world has been fucking conditioned this way. And I don't know. I sometimes I struggle to even find the words because it just makes me so fucking angry.
Yeah. It's how can you not treat a human being, any human being, like a human being.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's mind blowing, honestly.
Yeah.
I'll even show you the depth of how deep this goes. When I volunteered at Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, mm-hmm. this was years ago when I went to Paul Mitchell, they had a trip you could take. And I went, it was in Utah, and it's a beautiful animal sanctuary. They have dogs, cats, all kinds of animals, and they rehome them and blah, blah, blah. So I went to go work there. And at the time they were having, I think it was the whole month, all black animals were discounted. And
what?
Yeah. And I asked them about this. I said, what is this about? And the lady said, and she said it in a way that she was not in agreement that this was happening, but she said it in a way that it was the only way that they could get those animals adopted. People do not even want to adopt black animals. That's how deep this shit goes.
That's they are how rude it
is. Black it's cats, sick. Black dogs, black pets will not get adopted. They're the last to get adopted out of all the colors of animals. Wow. And I she said it in a way of like, that's how what we have to do to help them, to give them their homes. Like, isn't this ridiculous? And I was just like, wow. That's how deep this shit goes.
That's an interesting story. I'm glad you shared that. That's crazy.
It's not okay.
No.
But going back to Erin, what you said, I reposted something that Amanda Seales posted. And, you know, it is a bit derogatory for some people. They don't want to hear this word. But she said, coons are Negroes who choose white approval over black advancement.
Mm-hmm. And, yep.
And that goes back to what you were saying about your friend, you know, saying that and the conditioning that mm-hmm. Black people feel that they have to be cool mm-hmm. with white people or kiss their ass mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
Or hug cops at protests.
Oh my God, girl.
Or kneel with a cop at a protest when a cop kneeled on George Floyd's neck to kill him. I don't want to see you kneeling for anything at this point in my life.
The ignorance and the disrespect is crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
But
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't either. But I posted that and I got a few responses that they just didn't understand that. And I've had to delete people left and right, and it's awesome.
I'm sure you have. It's crazy because that hasn't been my experience. Like, I haven't had to delete a lot of people because, I mean, I think that the majority of my social media, social network is black.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had a lot of that. But I'm pretty sure that you have, Nadia, because you grew up in OC, in Orange County, California, which is a very, very racist place.
Exactly. And I didn't really see it on Instagram. And it's mostly my Facebook. So my mm-hmm. Facebook is mostly just people that I went to school with, family members. It's a lot of OC people. So and I knew that, and I knew the audience. So I purposely went so hard with my posting. I was like, look at this. Like, I want you to see this shit.
Make them uncomfortable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a whole post about that because of the responses that I was getting they were not comfortable with it. They were like, why aren't you showing the cops kneeling? Why aren't you showing this good stuff that's happening? And I'm like, why? Why would I do that? You think that's going to balance it out? Like,
no,
they're going to kneel they're going to kneel and then go and attack us right after.
Well, and it also makes them feel better about their racism.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It makes them feel better about themselves.
Right.
So they just want to do something that's going to make me feel good. Me. And it's not fucking about you anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And the funny part about it is, like, what is kneeling? What does that mean anyway? Because what you are hired to do is protect people. So do you think that you kneeling in front of me is going to make me think that you're not going to go out and kill another black person, you know, because you have the power to do that because you don't want confrontation with me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to kneel and you're going to do whatever. You're going to put kente cloth on because you don't want confrontation with me right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. It's very passive and it's kind of emotionally manipulative.
Yeah. Yes. It's shameful. I'm embarrassed to see it. When I saw that kente cloth thing, I was like, this is such an act. Like, you're just doing this for the moment to be like, look, see, this is what we did. And then we'll move on.
And the crazy thing about it is a lot of Black Americans don't, we don't identify with African culture. We're American.
Yes.
You guys brought us here. We are American, and we've been here for the last 500 years. We don't know anything about Africa.
Exactly. Black Americans are totally different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a weird time.
Black America is a young culture.
It is.
You know what I mean? And so it's so disheartening to see you guys have to struggle and claw your way to just have a seat at the table. And I don't know.
I think a part of it too, the reason why we're having such a struggle is because we're such a young culture, because we don't know anything about our history. Mm-hmm. Our history started when our ancestors came over on slave ships, you know, half of them dead, the other half laying on top of the dead ones.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like, it's crazy because you see these posts and you see all of these people saying things like, well, if you would just follow the law, you know, you wouldn't get in trouble. If you would just do this or just do that, you wouldn't get in trouble. But the thing about it is, this has never been that way.
No.
It's always been designed for us to be enslaved. That is why we came here. We came here to boost the American economy. And that is literally all they really want to use us for.
Absolutely.
And it's always been that way. It's always been that way. And it's going to be that way. Yeah. It's going to be that way until something changes. But what's really frightening for me is that I'm not stupid. And I know that the powers that be are not trying to play that game. Mm-mm. Because it's going to fuck up the church's money. Yeah. You know?
All of it. They're not trying to let it go.
Not at all.
If you are one of those people that are saying that you are saying, why don't you just follow the rules? If you wouldn't resist, you wouldn't get arrested, or whatever the fucking bullshit that people are saying, go educate yourself, because that is telling me that you really don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, start with Ava DuVernay's 13th.
Exactly. Thank
start
you.
There. Start there.
If you watch that and still say that, you're an idiot. Like, absolutely. There's just no way around it. You're an idiot.
Everything is detailed and there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
It's all designed that way, you know? Yep. And like last night I watched LA 92. You watched it last night, or you watched it a few?
I watched it yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the Rodney King situation and the LA riots happened when we were really young. So it's like, I knew about it, but I never dug deeper into the details of, you know, everything that was shown in that documentary. Like, I knew parts of it, not all of it.
Right.
I didn't know about the Korean lady that shot that little girl.
Yeah.
This little girl was going to the liquor store to buy orange juice. She was getting her money out of her backpack.
She had her money in her hand.
Oh, there you go. She had her money but the lady grabbed her backpack for whatever reason.
Because she thought she was going to put it. Mm-hmm.
Right. And the girl fought back. This girl was only like, how old was she, Erin?
It's like 16, 17, something like that.
I thought she was even younger.
Maybe. She was very young. She was young.
Yeah. And she grabs the bag and they're fighting for it. And then the Korean lady just point blank shoots her and kills her.
In her head. Killed her.
In her head.
Shot her in her head. Shot her in her head.
In her head. And do you know what happened to her? She got community service.
And a fine.
And a fine.
There you go.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that people are, you know, if you wouldn't resist arrest, if you weren't doing bad things. This is not the truth. This is not the reality. You need to open your fucking eyes. Because this is going on. That was so, I mean, again, this happens time and time again, but that really, just to see that and that nothing happened to her, and the judge said, I could tell a criminal when I see one. This is what, and the jury found her guilty, first of all, and the judge decided to give her that lesser sentence, because she said, I can tell when a person is a criminal or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know one when I see one.
Exactly.
Which means that she's not Black, so she's not a criminal.
Right.
I can't.
It's deep.
It's so fucking deep.
And the funny part about it is, like, everybody thinks that we're crying over George Floyd. Like, you know, this is the new thing. Black people are still crying over Emmett Till. You know?
Tamir Rice.
Emmett Till was like, 19? I don't even want to say the wrong date, but it was very, very, very long ago, probably in the 50s, something like that. I don't even know. I'll fact check that one. But this boy got beat to death. If you don't know the story of Emmett Till, please look it up. Mm-hmm. He got beat to death by a town of white people for looking at a white woman. And I think that he was like 14, maybe anywhere from like 11 to 14. I really have to fact check this story, but Emmett Till was very young. He looked at, whistled at something, supposedly. They beat him to death where they could not even, the funeral home wanted his mother to have a closed casket because they couldn't do anything with his body. But she decided to have an open casket.
Yes.
So that they could see what they did to her son.
And his face was all mangled up.
Oh, I do remember. Oh my God.
Yeah, I do remember.
What?
Like, that was in 13.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah I remember that.
And please forgive me, I smoke a lot of weed, so I'm not good with dates and things like that. But
I mean, none of that really matters.
Yeah. But it was so long ago, you know what I mean? Like, it was so, and I think like this was might have been before the whole civil rights movement and all of that. So,
yeah.
My God, like this is a long ass time coming, but it even still does not feel real. It still doesn't feel like anything is really going to change. What I will say is that
I was going to ask you how you feel about it possibly remaining the same.
Possibly.
There's all these protests and, you know, people are all, you know, about it right now, but things can shift and things will shift. So it's a lot.
I think slow and steady is always best. And I think that not to say that we want to sacrifice any more Black people to be a martyr for this thing, you know what I mean? But with every little thing, you know, there's more and more attention that is brought to it, which is great. But it just feels like I'm just afraid to bring little Black children into this world right now. You know, I don't feel like in my lifetime I will see many huge changes to this thing, just because I know how deep the government and corporation bond is with money and how they use Black people to fund their prisons, mm-hmm. fund basically every way that they make money off of us. So I don't know, you know.
Yeah, it's really hard to picture, and that's the most discouraging part of it, is that we see time and time this happens. No justice is served. People get upset. They take to the streets. They riot. They loot. They do whatever that needs to happen. Few small changes happen here and there, and here we are back doing it all over again.
Yeah.
And it constantly happens. And if you really understand what it is, you do, and it's discouraging because you do know that the change has to come from like so high up that it feels unreachable. How can we change the government?
Yeah.
How? You know what I mean? So it's so far, it feels so far out of our hands. And mm-hmm. that's the part that is the most unsettling to me, Erin. And I understand what you're saying is it just feels discouraging. How can we, you know?
And everybody's like, vote. And we're like, yeah, okay, cool. And then Russia comes in and plays with our numbers. You know, it's like, what are we doing here?
Right.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm not discouraging anybody not to vote. Please do vote. It might make a difference. But
right, we don't really know.
And it still feels hopeless.
That's the thing about voting, is that if we can't trust our police system because it's designed a certain way. Not only is the police system designed a certain way with white supremacy roots, everything, including the don't get Erin and I started laughing. This will never end.
Okay.
Everyone is involved in this. Everyone is in cahoots. The coroner, the prosecutors, the judges, everyone is in cahoots. Mm-hmm. So if that is happening, how can we trust and feel that our American vote is going to even make a difference when they can just manipulate it? How do we know?
Right. We don't.
Yeah.
We don't.
And so, Aaron, I get it with that part. And I keep thinking about it over and over again because I've voted before in the past. And then there's been elections that I haven't voted in. It's been kind of inconsistent with it. Because I feel that way, does it even matter? But I think at this point, I'm just like, well, I'm going to do it anyways.
Well, yeah, but what do we have to lose at this point?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's already fucked up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Trump, he needs to go. I mean, I doubt that Joe Biden is that much more immensely better than Trump. But Trump has empowered people to speak out on their racism.
Yeah.
I really feel that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
We all have questions about coronavirus. Learning more about how it impacts women can help researchers find ways to prevent, treat, and beat it while ensuring the care we receive is tailored to our needs. You can help researchers understand more about how women have been affected by coronavirus by participating in Research Goes Red, the American Heart Association's joint collaboration between Go Red for Women and Verily's Project Baseline Initiative to form the largest, most engaged research community that's for women by women. Did you know women in their 30s and 40s are more than twice as likely to die from heart disease than breast cancer? Filling out a survey could help change that. More than 40% of Hispanic women are living with cardiovascular disease. You could help change that by participating in focus groups, surveys, or studies. Heart disease is a leading cause of death of Black women in their 30s, claiming more lives than all cancers, accidents, assaults, and Alzheimer's disease combined. Joining a focus group could help us learn why. And cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of death for new moms. Participating in online research could help change that. Research Goes Red just launched a survey to better understand how women have personally been affected and impacted by coronavirus. Whether or not they have it, we're in this together. The more you know about women and our overall health, the more lives we can save for generations to come. For more information about how you can drive science ahead, visit projectbaseline.com/goRed. That's projectbaseline.com/goRed.
I have a question for Nas, actually. What is your experience during this time being married to a Black man?
Ooh, it's deep. It's deep. Yeah. A lot of things come up. Of course, the children part of it comes up. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid. And I'm also afraid of the things that I don't know because I don't want to not tell them something or misinform them. So for me, it's important before I have children to really learn the roots of everything, to really understand the history. And so I can inform my children so they know what's up. But like, that's a fear of mine, honestly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's my duty now to really get into it, mm-hmm. to really understand everything so I can pass that on to them and to have strong people around who know. And have mm-hmm. experience and grew up with all of this. So mm-hmm. it's a lot. It's eye-opening. It's really mm-hmm. eye-opening, you know? And then, yeah. you know, my husband, he's half Black, you know? So it's like, I've seen a lot of conflict with that and it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's so yeah. much.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. Yeah. And I have to really like sit with myself and that's why I get quiet and just take everything in. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And I fear for him when he goes out and more so now more than ever. It's just, it is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's yeah. scary. It's really yeah. scary, but this is reality. This is reality.
Yeah.
And we have to just take care of each other and educate ourselves at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Education is there's so much shit out there. It's like, how do people still argue against this? I don't understand it.
I don't either.
This whole counter, what is it, like the rebuttal of All Lives Matter versus Black Lives Matter. I'm tired of this shit. Like, you're not seeing the point.
Yeah.
This is not Black Lives Only Matter. That's not what this is. Get your head out of your ass. Like, I don't know. Have you guys been seeing that still? I still see it.
Oh, of course.
All the time. It's
before I got on.
How can you not understand? I don't know. It's a lot.
Yeah. I watched like 3 videos of All Lives Matter situations. you know, just white people. Just like that lady, that lawyer. She's a lawyer, for God's sake. Lady, what are you doing?
Who, Candace?
Who spit in that 17-year-old kid's face.
What? I didn't see that. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm going to send you guys this video. You just wait. There's a video of this white lady. She's out at a protest.
Uh-huh.
Who knows what in the world she's doing there in the first place. And she's acting like she's scared to death because these protesters are coming toward her. Of course, they're not coming toward her. They're walking in that direction. And so she's acting like she's scared to death. And so she starts yelling at them. And of course, they start, you know, they're chanting whatever they're chanting as they're marching. And they chant, you know, back at her. Like, this is what it is.
Right.
You can get in my face, I'm going to get in yours. And she fixed her tiny lips to spit in this 17-year-old kid's face. Like, hawk spit. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? And so then, like, oh, my God, I can't even. Oh, Jesus. If that was my kid, if that was me, and this is why I can't be outside right now, guys, because you would be bailing me out of jail. I would be so upset. It's like, it's not even enough that I'm, like, upset in my home. If I was out there in those streets, oh, Lordy.
I know. Have you felt like you don't want to go out and protest? Like, how do you feel about that?
I'm 50-50. I'm 50-50, but my logic says keep your ass home.
Yeah.
I don't feel like dying. I don't feel like getting coronavirus. Right. And you know, I am supporting the movement the way that I support the movement. And it does not mean for me being out in the streets. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I'm a 33-year-old woman with responsibilities. I got to go to work. I don't know what y'all want me to do.
Yeah. I've been feeling that way too about protesting. Like, I see it and I want so badly to be out there and be a part of it. But like, I'm not going to lie. I see coronavirus. Like, that is a big part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
We are still in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know people are wearing masks, but they're like standing this close to one another, and it freaks me out.
Hundreds of people,
and this lady just spit in this kid's face.
Exactly. Like
what?
I know, such a disregard. You know, actually, going back to the very beginning of it all, does this George Floyd incident and how social media and the nation? Excuse me, and even the world, does it feel different to you? And like, let's break that down and talk about that, why it's different.
You think people just want to get out the house?
Is that the feeling?
I feel like that sometimes.
Perspective.
Man, I feel like people are so up and about it and out here in these streets because they're like, oh, an opportunity to do something. Summer's canceled. There's no concerts. Let's go protest.
There's literally nothing to do right now.
And unemployment is at its highest rate. Like, people don't have jobs to go to. So they're like, I mean, it all makes sense.
That's the negative part about it. But what if because people are available, because they are not working, because they don't have anything to do but to be in the house, that they can pay more attention now to what's happening.
Right.
I think about it both ways, but yeah. I think that the crowd is probably split 50-50, which is okay. And I'm okay with that.
I can see that. It's kind of like all the elements of a perfect storm were there to create this this awakening in a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Because I was trying, you know, Nas, Nick and I had a really long conversation like a week or two ago. Like, we talked all day about all kinds of things. And that was one of the things we talked about is, why is this such a bigger deal than all the others? You know, there's been a few that have kind of been highlighted more than the rest, but this one is huge.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, like, people in France and other countries are protesting on the behalf of Americans.
Yeah, Black Americans at that.
Exactly. So that's a big movement. That's a big thing to happen. And so we were talking about that, and I was trying to figure that out. And Aaron, that's a good point. I didn't think about that part, that they're tired of getting out. I did think about the fact that we are in a pandemic. People don't have jobs. Like, they can be out in the streets. But I also think, too, this time around, this particular video, in this video, the way that it was being captured and filmed for so long, and how he knew he was being filmed, and it was just such blatant. A blatant disrespect for human life that really shocked a lot of people to see it happen like that for so long. And just, that was a big part of it as well, I think, that, you know, unfortunately, with Ahmaud Arbery, he got gunned down by rednecks. So people are like, oh, that's what rednecks do. They hate Black people. They shoot them, whatever. Like, as fucked up as it is, it was easier for them to accept that in a way, because that's what's supposed to happen, than to see a police officer look dead into the camera and be like, yeah, I'm doing this. You see me doing this? I'm doing this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that was just so unsettling. And that just shows the corruption in the police system. And if you're, it sucks. I will say this. I do know good cops. I'm not saying they're all bad. And it sucks that you're being grouped with them. However, you knew what this is when you signed up to be in it.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And most turn a blind eye.
Exactly.
And that makes you a bad cop.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Somebody pointed it out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think it was Van Lathan. He used to be at TMZ, I believe, something like that. I think he said, if there's a basketball team of guys, right?
Oh, I saw that.
And yeah, and one basketball player is raping children, but all the players know about it, even though they're not, you know, raping children themselves. Does that make the rest of those people good people? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Guilty by association.
Exactly.
Right. So there absolutely is and then I saw something else that said, the only good cop I've ever seen turned in his badge.
And I'd be curious to see if that's happening and where it's happening and what, you know, I'd be curious to see if that's happening right now, if there are, because I was talking to Nigel about this, that one of his buddies, he's in the military, and he was out in the streets protesting. He's Black, and, you know, for Black Lives Matter. And then he got the call, hey, you got to go suit up and go protect the streets. And so now he's forced to play the role on the other side. And that sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that weighs heavy on him.
Yeah.
You know,
that's conflict of interest.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, this is a time right now where a lot of people are questioning so much, questioning themselves, questioning what they're doing with their lives, questioning, you know, their friends, their families. So many heavy and important conversations are happening right now. So it's, there's so much happening that this energy is heavy, but it needs to happen.
We need this. We need this. Everybody needs this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah. It's very important, and it's important to have these moments so everyone can grow. It's time. It's time.
And so it's so funny. We were like almost out with our episode, and we never got to the questions.
Okay, sorry, guys.
No, this needs to happen. I had a feeling this was what was going to happen. There's just a lot to talk about, and it needs to be said. But I think, like, as far as moving forward, because what I fear is that this is just an Instagram trend, and
like
that, like how everything is in the shallow ass world, that this is just going to be a fleeting moment and it's going to pass and no change is going to happen, no real effective change. Because I saw, Aaron, you posted Eileen's post about these new New York laws that are complete bullshit, that they're trying to say that, oh, look, see, we've reformed these laws and we're adjusting these laws. And they're just like reiterating the same shit or just stating the obvious.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. And so it's not real change. Don't lie to us. Don't. It's insulting.
It's gaslighting.
It's gaslighting. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes, so it's not change, you know, and I think like one of the things that I've been trying to do personally is like obviously educate myself as much as I can with whatever I don't know. If I want to dig deeper, I was telling Aaron that the looting thing I never thought deeply about. I didn't go deeper. I just thought, people are taking advantage of the situation, which some of them are, you know, you get those people.
Absolutely.
It is fucked up, but there's a lot of layers to the looting.
There is.
Yeah. And, you know, you get one layer is the fact that we want to hit them where it hurts, in their pockets, because that's the only time they pay attention, is when we're affecting their business and their money. So there's that part of it, to send the message, because all the protests were specifically organized in certain locations in LA. I don't know about other places, but in LA, It was in Beverly Hills. It was in areas where there's wealth. And that was meant for a reason.
Santa Monica,
exactly. So you get that layer. And then you also get the layer of people right now. The unemployment rate is through the roof right now. People don't have shit right now. So if they're going to see an opportunity to say F you to the government, F you to these corporate businesses, and I'm going to go get my shit, I can't really blame them right now.
I'm walking in the Gucci store with you.
Right. There you go. You know what I mean?
This is the thing. Like, you can't promote. And this is the thing. It's like, especially like with rappers and record labels and stuff like that, a lot of the people who are at the head of that are white. And so you can't fund and promote these rappers to flaunt all of their cars and their designer jewelry and bags and everything in everybody's face and make them want everything, and then expect for people who are being oppressed to not go get those things when there's an opportunity.
Exactly.
And those are the people who we talked about first, the people who are just looking for the opportunity. They don't even know why they're doing it. Mm-hmm. They don't even understand. No, they don't get it at all, but I get it, and I see what's happening, and I know why they went and broke the windows of the Louis store and of the Gucci store, because this is what you tell them that they have to be worthy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, don't play with us.
Man, that is so deep. That is really deep. Yeah.
There's many layers to the whole looting thing, and so I Googled it. I was like, what's the history of looting? Why do people loot? And I just dug deep into that so that I could understand it. And it changed my viewpoint on it. I'm not a violent person. I don't agree with violent protests. I would prefer to see a peaceful protest. However, I get it. I get it. And people's lives are being taken. Fuck your shit.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what
merchandise
I mean?
Can be replaced.
And you have insurance. Get out of my face.
Exactly.
There you go. Boom.
And really, the sad part is when the mom and pops get hit.
That is
the part, because that's their livelihood, and that's not fixing the problem.
That's just casualty of war.
Yeah, it is, exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the funny thing about it is a lot of the museums that people who call themselves cultured love to go to and see things at, those that are all a product of looting.
Looting, exactly. That shit was looted.
All of that is stolen. It's all stolen goods.
Including black people from Africa.
Mostly, including black people from Africa. Like, don't play with us. Like, don't act like you didn't teach us these things.
Exactly.
And then you turn around and look at us crazy for doing them. Like, when you've been put in a position, like, you can't. I don't know. I'm getting angry now.
I know.
Oh man, it's so
well, I mean, it's and we haven't even touched the surface of white privilege in that topic.
Yeah, because, you know, yeah. I'm not white. I can't talk about that. I don't know anything about it.
I mean, you know what it is.
Oh yeah, I definitely know what it is.
And it's there's a lot of people who don't know what it is and don't know it exists, don't believe it exists. So now
they don't have it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. They don't have it.
They think this is America, land of the free. Yeah. We all have the same opportunities. And that's not what it is.
Yeah.
That's not what it is. You know, and if you think that, that's because you probably have privilege.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother.
The last thing I'm going to say is I find it crazy to see people of other races who are not white say anything about what's happening negatively about what's going on right now, as if every other race hasn't been oppressed almost every other, you know, at some point by America. Mm-hmm. How 9/11 happened, and then every person from the Middle East was a terrorist. Absolutely. How, you know, coronavirus just recently happened, and every Asian person was a target.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like this is like, and now to see Middle Eastern people or Asian people or whoever look at Black people as if, you know, they don't understand is insane to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's like their own conditioning to like think that way. To me, it's just ignorance. I've had those conversations with family members. It's frustrating as hell. Like, it's hard to get these points across sometimes when people have already decided they want to think this way. And that is so frustrating.
Of a certain age.
Right.
It's very hard to change that fixed mindset. It's very difficult.
I think that is exactly, Nas, is that we're dealing with, a lot of people are dealing, in our age group, dealing with talking to their parents right now and trying to change that perspective. Because, yes.
Sorry. I also think there's this, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, like a racial hierarchy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that? Yeah. Like, but I feel like in some races, they still think they're better than Black people. And it's not okay. It's not okay.
Most races think they're better than Black people. Yes. And that's the sick truth.
It's like us and Mexicans. We're the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. It's true.
And look, none of it.
It's even within, there's hierarchies within within Latin communities. There's, you know, where they say, oh, Dominicans are down here and Puerto Ricans are here. And there's hierarchies.
It's all like, I know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's bullshit, and it's so hard to dismantle that. That's a whole nother, I don't even know how to begin that. I mean, again, we can have these conversations with our parents, which I have been doing. I don't really want to blast my parents' opinions on things because they didn't ask for this platform. But it's important to have the conversations at the very least. That is the very least thing that should be happening. Is if people don't understand in your circle, in your family, it is your responsibility as a quote-unquote woke person to inform them and educate them and have those difficult conversations.
Yes.
And I had another listener message me. She sent me a voice message saying that she is having a really hard time talking to her Indian mother, and all they do is get into shouting matches. Because she gets so upset and worked up that her mother is so ignorant about these topics that she just lashes out, and then the conversation never goes any further. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, and how many people are having these conversations right now? You know, so many.
So many, yeah.
And I really don't even know how to advise that, you know? And I think people come to our show. This is the thing, like Nas and I, we're 37... 30-something-year-old women with, you know, a certain amount of experiences, we're still going through life. We don't have all the answers. We're trying to figure it out ourselves.
And like we're not perfect by any means. So no. It's very, like, we make mistakes and say things and, you know, we could be wrong. We could be right.
It's exactly,
you know, we're still growing.
It's, and we've been fortunate enough to receive this platform to share our experiences and to highlight other people's experiences. And that's what we try to do. And again, not claim that we know everything, because we don't. We're just saying, hey guys, we're going through this life with you. Like, mm-hmm. Watch us grow, come and grow with us. Let's learn together, you know? So I don't know how to answer that, because I've had a lot of shouting matches with my dad in the past, not just only on all kinds of topics. Communicating with your parents can be so frustrating when your viewpoints and your morals don't align.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
it's one of the most frustrating things. So I'm going to just be honest with you.
Of course.
It's you don't want to be disappointed.
Exactly. You're like,
those are my parents and I learned from them. Mm-hmm. But there is like this certain amount of guilt, and I personally can speak on this, that mm-hmm. I feel being disappointed with situations like that.
Exactly.
It bothers me.
I'll say this. I don't have to have those particular kinds of conversations with my mom, of course, because she is Black. But I do have to have certain conversations with my mother where our opinions are very different, especially when it comes to her relationship with my sisters mm-hmm. and how they communicate. Mm-hmm. And so I will say it's just as touchy of a subject, because when I talk to my mom about that, it feels like to her that I am attacking her personally mm-hmm. Because I'm attacking her beliefs. Mm-hmm. So it's in the same realm. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned to do is to look my mother dead in the eye mm-hmm. and say, hey, lady, listen to me. I am not attacking you. I want to hear you. I want you to hear me. But I feel like there's a disconnect in, you know, whatever this conversation that we're having. And if you would just give me an opportunity to tell you my point, and I'll give you an opportunity just to give them that permission to chill out, because mm-hmm. then they know that you are not personally attacking them, and that you don't love them any less because you disagree with them.
And so you know? Does she receive it well every time you say it?
Absolutely. And it gets better every time. It gets better every time. So I really just had to, it's crazy, because a lot of times in a lot of situations, as you get older and you are still their child, you kind of have to parent up on them. Mm-hmm. Like you kind of have to like boss up on your mom and dad and be like, hey bro, I need you to chill out for a second, be mature and mm-hmm. have a conversation with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know.
Absolutely.
You got to learn to boss up sometimes. And if it has to be on your parents, it just has to be on your parents. But you have to know how to do it in a loving way mm-hmm. and in a way that is going to promote communication.
Mm-hmm. And try your best to set emotions aside as best you can, because that's when things get miscommunicated or misconstrued, is because it's in a high emotional state. Mm-hmm. And
I know sometimes it feels like our parents still see us as these little beings. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that also aids in like the heated conversation, because mm-hmm. they're like, I'm your parent. Mm-hmm. I'm best. And it's mm-hmm. like, don't tell me to like mm-hmm. speak a certain way. So yeah, that also happens a lot as mm-hmm. well. But I love your advice, Erin. Like, I'm actually going to try that. I'm going to see how it'll be received.
That's you just got to be like, Mom, don't you know that I love you? Like, stop tripping. Like, listen to me. I just want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like,
I had a 4-hour conversation with my parents last week on the phone.
That's so crazy.
I don't think I've ever talked to them that long in my life.
How did it feel?
It was great. We talked about all kinds of stuff. And there was, in the past, when my dad and I bump heads a lot. We have a lot of different opinions on things, and we're very different people. And in the past, we've always fought and bumped heads. And this go around, and as I got older, that lessened and lessened. But this go around, really, I just let him say what he wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And I would just let him say it all, and I would pause and just take it in, and then I would respond calmly with just facts. You know, right. I tried to just educate him on certain things as much as I could and leave it at that. And I continuously send him videos on things and, hey, you should look at this documentary and read this. And I'm constantly showing my parents, read this, look at this, you know, and that's all I can do is educate them. And it's up to them if they want to decide. I can't force that on them. And mm-hmm. that's the other harsh reality. You cannot force your grandma to be racist when she's been racist her whole life.
Yes. You know what I mean? That's like, generational. That's been passed down.
Exactly. So
my black grandma was racist. My great grandma, by the way.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, you know, this is across the board. She was just light skinned, so she could get away with it.
Right. See?
Okay.
Yeah.
It affects so many of us. You know, I think every family has been affected by it in some way or another.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it just becomes tricky because, again, we do love them and they're our family. So it's just, there is going to be sometimes that harsh reality of, do I have to accept that they may not change?
But also know that that doesn't have any effect on who you are.
Right.
Their opinion of the world is not yours. You are allowed to be your own person. You don't have to adopt, agree with, carry any of their opinions or the way that they move through the world. Mm-hmm. You can be a completely different person. It's up to you. And it doesn't have to anger you that your parents have a difference of opinion, because it has literally nothing to do with you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So.
Amen.
And I think, finding the root and going back into, why do my parents feel this way? Have those deep conversations as to, mom and dad, why did you start to feel this way towards this?
Listen to their stories. To their stories.
Dig deeper and find out what their experiences were and whatever. And just to have that better understanding so you can come more well-equipped with that rebuttal, with that, okay, I'm sorry you experienced that or whatever it is, but you know, educate them past that, you know, as best you can. Again, they may not receive it and it may take time and it's going to require a lot of patience, but
and you might learn a lot about yourself.
Right. Right. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Man. Yeah. Okay. One last thing. I feel like in order to keep the momentum going, because in order for us to see real change, we have to keep this going. We can't stop. The one thing that I've found, and I'm still looking, is I joined, I'm going to share this in case other people want to do the same. I joined the Grassroots Law Project, basically an organization, that they have legal expertise to radically transform policing and justice in America. So they go out and find all the injustices and they work on those through petitions, and they need money and they need all the support that they can get. So what's cool about it is, if you're a person like me where you just don't really know where to start, it's a cool organization to sign up for, because they'll email you and tell you, hey, this is what we're working on right now and this is what we need from you. And so you can decide, you know, how you want to contribute, either showing up and helping, signing the petitions, sending money, whatever it is. At least it's one way. And there's so many other organizations.
I know what you mean. NAACP,
excuse me.
There's also change.org.
Yes,
change.org. You can sign up on. There's also the, if you want to donate, the Minnesota Freedom Fund is a great one too. That helps bail out any protesters.
Perfect.
So if you read up on that, I'm with that. So yeah, I mean, anything helps at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Signing those petitions, educate yourself, being in the know. If you could donate. If you can't, it's fine. Like, we all posted that on YouTube. If you listen to a certain playlist.
Yeah. The money gets donated to certain organizations.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, we need radical movement in our justice system. Really in so many structures of America need radical reform. And it is daunting, but we got to start somewhere. We gotta do something. So again, like we said, vote. It may not work.
We're not sure.
So terrible.
We will be at the polls. We will be voting,
but we'll be there. Meet us there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, with our masks on.
Well, yeah,
girl.
But yeah, I hope we can get through this, man. It's brutal. We got to get Trump out of here. We got to get him out of here. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, guys, I do want to say that I appreciate your concern, your involvement, your willingness to understand and to learn and to listen. I love it. Thank you. It makes me cry a little bit.
Oh, she's shedding a tear.
Of course. I mean, listen,
It is automatic. We love you. Like, this is something like we believe in as well. You know, we fight and honor humanity. So it's automatic.
Exactly. And if you have Black friends and Black family, how can you not be a part of this? If you love those people, you have to show up. You have
to
be a part of this.
If you love rap music.
Right.
Okay, that part.
All of it. You know, we have taken so much from you, and it's time that people start giving back to Black culture and Black society. It's so long overdue.
Yes, giving them the credit that they deserve.
Yeah.
They deserve all of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Amazing. All right,
guys. We're doing our best. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry we never got to the questions. That just means we'll have to do a whole other episode. Exactly. We'll be back next week with ladies like you.
Yes. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Ladies Like Us from The Lady Gang and Podcast One. The Lady Gang Network is produced by Will Sterling, Steve Delamater, Kirsten Woodward, and Elizabeth Baquet. Thanks for rating and reviewing wherever you get your podcasts, and tune in for new episodes every single week.
Hey, I'm Autumn Calabrese, and I have a question for you. How do you do life? I might be a superstar trainer, but I'm also a boy mom, sister, daughter, friend, and entrepreneur. You might think my life is all working out and cooking healthy, delicious recipes, but trust me, there is so much more to it, and this is it. This is all of those real moments you talk about with your family and friends. Ever wonder what else life has to offer? Bring your curious appetite and let's do life together. Subscribe now at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and PodcastOne.com.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.